the topic tonight is Dvarim Shebikdusha that need a minyan. There's a list of basically three things that without a minyan you can't do them. And they are Kaddish, Barchu, and Kedusha. Those three things require a minyan. So we're going to talk about what they have in common and what the function of a minyan is. And it'll all make sense when you hear
the Kriyas the Torah.
That's true. That's who. That's true. That's a separate topic. Right. That's a separate takana. Unless you have a minyan, you're not mechuyev in that. But these things you couldn't. You're allowed to read the Torah if you want to, but you write Birchas the Torah would be part of a separate takana. But Dvarim Shebikdusha, these are the three things included in this group, and they are, like I said, Kaddish, Barchu, and Kedusha. So what these three things are, says Hirsch, and you can see all this, by the way. I recommend highly, if you don't own it, get the Hirsch Siddur. It's got everything we've been learning. It's such a theme of all these ideas that keep building on each other. So all of these three things, Kaddish, Baruch, and Kedusha, are about Kiddush Hashem, which we'll define in a minute what exactly is Kiddush Hashem. But it's either like by Baruch Hu, which is a summons to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim, Shem Hashem, which we'll soon explain. It's connected to what the word Baruch means, which we've been talking about, furthering Hashem's will. Or an avowal in response to such a summons in word and in action. It's a testimony. Like Kaddish would be such an avowal of that summons. It can only be uttered with a minyan, which represents the body of the entire Jewish community. A minyan is a mini Klal Yisrael. So certain things can only be said as Klal Yisrael statements. They're only appropriate. As the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Chaf Beis, V'nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, that certain elements, certain level of Kiddush Hashem can only happen amongst Klal Yisrael. So let me read to you Hirsch's own words about what is Kiddush Hashem and what is the Tzibur and how the two are related. So he writes as follows. Kiddush Hashem denotes the highest level of man's execution of his task on earth. Through the subordination of all earthly affairs without reservation to the fulfillment of God's purposes, to demonstrate how greatly exalted he is above all things and people, and that all else has no value and significance for us except to the extent that it serves to carry out his will. That's why we talk about someone dying al Kiddush Hashem, because basically he's saying his whole life has no purpose other than to fulfill Hashem's will. And if what they're asking a person to do is undermines the entire concept of belief in Hashem and the basic tenets of everything that Hashem wants in this world, then what he has, his body and his breath, are not worth anything, because the whole purpose of everything is only to serve Hashem's will. So then he says as follows, thus, Kiddush Hashem, the goal for which all of mankind is brought to maturity through Hashgacha Pratis, constitutes the essence of the Jewish people's task, even at the present time. It is to the Jewish community, which he calls Kehilas Yaakov, that God has entrusted as a marasha, the practical demonstration of this task. It's our Yerusha. And it is the Jewish people whom he has appointed as bearer, guardian, agent, and executor of what eventually will be the goal of all mankind. Thus, it is only from the hands of the community that any individual at any time is given his task. And it is only within the framework of his community that he can fulfill it. For the mission reaches far beyond the limited physical, moral, and intellectual capacity of the short-lived individual. Here's the key right there. Ein tzibur ani, the ein tzibur meis. Right? The community has everything it needs to do what it needs to do. And that means even into future moments, even into a time that's not ours. A community cannot die. A community can do all things. It is only within the framework of a community that all limitations can be compensated for, that wants can be supplied, and therefore the individual can charge his task only as part of that community. So that when we talk about Hashem, Achris Hayamim, getting to his end goal, a tzibur can say that with confidence, because we know that the part, the little part that we can't do, the next door picks up. Even as an individual, the part that he can't do, other people on the tzibur can pick up and do other things that he can't do. We all contribute in our way, and not just little bit, but literally into the end of time. We're all part of that global, eternal community. So Ein Tzibur Meis, that's really the idea here. So when we're going to say the most profound ideas of believing that Hashem, that his goal till the end of time is going to be reached, that the only ones who can know that with confidence and say that is the Tzibur, essentially a small representative of all of Klal Yisrael. I think that's the crux of why Dafka, these things are Dafka and Tzibur, as he says in a few other places too. So with that in mind, so now we're going to talk about what exactly is Kaddish. Because when you finish Sukkot Zimra, you right away jump into Kaddish. We say it a couple of times before that too. We'll get into the theme of Kaddish in general now. So Kaddish is an avowal that whatever happens, wherever we are, eventually, Yisgadol v'Yisgadol Shmei Rabba, that the greatness of God's name in all of its significance will be recognized and sanctified by all, irrefutably and without reservation. When we say sanctified, so the idea of Kedusha is absolute dedication, completely committed to this idea. One day, the whole world is going to be there. At the end of the whole of history, when the Torah will have had its effect on us and then spill out to the whole world will then completely be part of this song of homage to Hashem. So the Tzibur is making a testimony to this, that Yisgad Hashmei, the perception of God, God's name, how we perceive God and therefore act on that, it will become great, meaning it will increase to the point that the whole world will buy into it. And then we said, the Alma Derachi Rusei, in a world that he himself created according to his own will, the Vrah that he created, Chirusei, like by his will, meaning despite the things that we see throughout history that seem to contradict his will, but it's all really part of one big global plan. And he moves history, he moves society, he moves everything along to get to that end goal. So it's an amuna that everything is going to get there. And ultimately it's going to be fulfilled through history being guided through Hashgacha Pratis to its end goal. Hold on a second. Right. He says, this is the confident hope that has sustained Klal Yisrael throughout the trials that were part of its wanderings through the ages. And the public avowal of this hope constitutes the very foundation on which our entire congregational worship is based. Therefore, the reader, right, the Chazan, restates it on behalf of the entire congregation at the end of every major portion of our tefillahs, so that all the congregation may take it to heart anew each time. This is really the central theme of all of tefillah, that Hashem is moving history along, and we will commit as a tzibur to doing our part to contribute as we can. So that's a big deal. That's the main theme behind Kaddish. Then we say the big sentence of Kaddish, Yehi Shmei Rabba Mivarach. So Mivarach is very similar to what we're going to say later, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMivorach. And this can only be said by a tzibur, as he explains the following. The great name of God will be blessed. That is, the recognition of him should be advanced, spread, and made a living reality on earth forever and ever. So notice he doesn't say here, like in the Kubbalah, maybe you've heard other people explain, when it says the Olam Olam Amai, I think Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, in a Kabbalistic way, it's talking about the different worlds. Hirsch is not interested in Kabbalah in his explanation of anything. He feigns ignorance about it in the 19 letters. La'olam olam ayamai, he says, means for eternity and for all endless eternities. So as far as we can imagine, in other words, all the way until all of history plays out till the end of time. That's how he understands it. So Mivarach, if I'm not mistaken, it's connected to Mivarach, as he's going to soon talk about that by Baruch Hu, means that we already feel it's done. It's already going to happen. We know it with confidence. That can only be said by a tzibur that has the capacity to make that happen. That's why such a statement can only be made as a tzibur. Let me go on to Baruchu Es Hashem Mevarach. So, that's all Kaddish did was it said, we believe this will happen in the future. But then Hersh adds, what will be true in the future for the whole world should be translated into living reality now and always by the Jewish community as a whole and by every congregation of that community, which is a small-scale representation of that larger community, every kehila of the great Kahal Adas Yisrael. Therefore, you have, remember, the Chazan is the Shliach Tzibur. Essentially, he is the Tzibur. He's our Shliach talking on our behalf. So because of that belief that we ought to be doing our part, our Shliach, essentially us, tells us, now it's time for us to commit to the part of it that we can do as a Tzibur. So it's interesting, you know, that's the word Shliach Tzibur, but it really means we are calling ourselves to do this. He's just the leader of us. Therefore, the Kehila calls upon itself to declare the following. God, who is Mevorach, which he explains, who alone is blessed, that means will eventually attain complete and irreversible fulfillment in heaven and on earth among all the people, among the whole world, Jews, non-Jews, is now also to be blessed by this Kehila, by Klal Yisrael, meaning that they too must dedicate themselves the advancement and furtherance of this goal by consecrating a kedusha, all of their being and all of their strength. That's he adds b'chol nashecha b'chol miodecha, be it great or small, to this lofty purpose. So the idea of this statement of baruchu es Hashem u'mevorach is baruch, as you said many times already. Baruch means I'm committing to what it is that Hashem wants. But Hashem being hamevorach means we're already looking to it being absolutely irreversible, that everything he wants is already locked in place. As a tzibur, we can actually say that we believe this and we feel this, because look, things that I can't do, but as a tzibur, we can do. We're looking towards the future, to all eternity, this will happen. Okay, so because he says, you know, that's what he just stated, because of this concept of God is the one who's a mavarch, Baruch can only say the tzibur. However, we go on to say, Baruch atah, the rest of the bracha, Yachid can say, the promise to advance God's cause with the devotion of your own personality, we can say that alone. We say lots of brachas. That's not calling Hashem a mevarach. That's my commitment that I'm going to extend as my little capacity, whatever it is I can do. Okay. So now, Birchas HaYotzeh and Yotzeh Ma'oros takes us to a whole other place. It's along the same lines, but it's really a reflection on some of the things we talk about in Sukkot and Zimra. We first talk about the luminaries, right? We got the sun, the moon, and Chazal designed it very cleverly that in the morning we talk about the sun and the moon. At night we make sure to talk about the moon and the sun. We talk about both because contrary to pagan belief that there were multiple forces and they were in conflict with each other, our belief in Hashem Echad is that there's one force, and that's the whole, really that's the underpinning of a belief in Hashgacha Pratis. If there's multiple Kaichas out there in the world, Chalila, then there's no guiding force between anything. It's all random forces colliding with each other. The belief that Hashem is the creator of all of that that's in place is why we believe God is guiding history. I mean, that's the underpinnings of basic Aleph Beis of our Emunah. So that's why, and there was a pasuk that says Vorira. They change the Voris HaKol to expand the idea. He makes Tov, he makes Ra, to counter the thought that there's some sort of a difference between the different times of the day and different times maybe in our experience.
Where do you see the moon mentioned first?
Sorry?
Where do you see the moon mentioned first? If I understood you correctly.
Well, I don't know if it's mentioned first, night. But well, I don't think it's mentioned first, but Hamavir Yom Mevi Loila. I think that's what we're saying there. He pushes away the day and he brings the night.
I see.
We're focusing on the fact that it's now night. But here, right, Yotzer, we talk about the daytime. Hameir Laretz. We start out, look at the sun. It's so bright outside. So each one is there to say, but it's not, you know, don't think that there's something contrary to this. It's all one. And then we say as follows, after a couple of psukim into Hameir Laretz, we say that we realize that the whole world was dependent on your chesed to keep it going. We need that too. So Elokei Olam, after a few psukim into Hamei Laretz, we say Elokei Olam, Berachemecha Harabim Rachem Aleinu. We need your same hashgacha, just as the physical world has it. We need it as humans to be guided. We mentioned a lot of times Hirsch has this theme of God being the God of nature and the God of history. So we as people look at nature and we say, we are asking for you to be Mashgiach on us and to guide us. Adonai Zeinu, Miskabenu, etc., etc. The next few psukim, Kel Baruch Gedol Deo, again talks about the sun. It was originally right, fixed. It was a beautiful thing. Hashem made the sun, everything. It's the highest of all those things. Hirsch points out, Roma Meshakai, that Hashem, as we said in the beginning of his parish on the Chumash, talks about Hashem as Shakai. He put everything in its boundaries. Everything has its place. So we recognize Hashem as the one towering above everything. And then, hold on. The main point that I spent a lot of time grappling with and getting straight, I hope, was eventually to get to the point of Kedusha, which is where this is all leading to. That with the world that Hashem created, we notice the Malachim, are all poskim as pihim, they say Kedusha, and they say that they makabel ol malchus shemayim, one from the other. They receive it one from the other, and then they say these two sentences, right? They say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Malach Alarz Kvodo, and they also say, Baruch Kvod Hashem Min Kamo. So these two psukim, let's ponder them a little bit. The simple, but maybe the most common understanding of this sentence, Kadosh, 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 would tell us there's different levels of Shemayim. Each is surrounding Hashem, Kisei HaKavod, and there's higher levels and even higher levels and even higher levels. And above it, out of reach, Kadosh, in this sense, if we say that by Kedusha, by people, it means dedicating ourselves to Hashem's will, then when we say the word Kadosh, referring to the upper spheres, it means they're completely infused with the Ratzon Hashem. And Hashem is so Kadosh that you can't even perceive what that even means. It's pure Ratzon Hashem. That is Hashem. So that's the most common translation, that Hashem is, his will is so intense, it's just more and more and more beyond our reach. However, Hirsch tends to like, he mentions that chat, but all over the place. This, by the way, that pasuk comes from Yeshaya, where Yeshaya HaNavi was seeing Hashem's Giloy of Kod Shemayim. And at that time, what Yeshaya was witnessing was the beginning of the Nevuah that Hashem is leaving, that the Beis HaMikdash is not going to remain. It was about, I think 150-ish years before the Churban. But Yeshaya HaNavi was noticing that the Kisei HaKavod, where once the Kedusha of the Shechina filled the whole Beis HaMikdash, now it was changing. Because Klai Yisrael had misunderstood the point of the Beis HaMikdash. It was almost a place where they could be from and then go home and not live the right way. At that point, he said that he saw the shulayim, the bottom of the chair of the Kisei HaKavod, still connected to the Makam HaMikdash, but it was no longer by the Kruvim filling, the Shechina was no longer filling the Beis HaMikdash. It was beginning to leave. And as a matter of fact, when he heard the cry of the Malachim saying, Kadosh, 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 there was almost like an earthquake at that moment. So Hirsch explains what's going on over here. He uses the Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel, who says that Kadosh, 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 if you notice, in the Kedusha Desidra by Volat Zion, we say the same sukkim, and there we insert the words of Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel. So let's have a look there for a second, because that's how Hirsch goes even here. And he says, there's a whole, it's not only the meaning that Hashem is so high and above us. It actually, according to Targum Yonatan, is saying the exact opposite. So here's what he says. Here's how it reads. We all say it every day. Right? It's Umakablin, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzvakas, Malach, Haaretz, Kodesh. He says, Umakablin, Deim, Deim. So they receive it one from the other, the Malachim, the Omrin, and they say, Kadosh, B'Shmei, Rama, Yilav, Eshchindei. That's the first level of Kadosh. Hashem is holy in the highest heights of heaven, the abode of his presence. Then the next Kadosh is Kadosh al Ara Oivag Devorte. Now we just went down from Shemayim down to earth. Holy on earth, the creation of his almighty power. And then the last one, is even further. We're going, staying on earth and going into the end of time. Kaddish li olam ul olmei olmaya. Hear that? Hashem is Kaddish forever and throughout all of human history, for all the eternity of what is going to play out in human history. Hashem Tzvakos, Hashem, who is the God of hosts, and you might think the translation of hosts means malachim. Hirsch says in his commentary to Yeshaya, in the collected writings, it also includes us. We're part of his hosts too, because we were given this Torah, we, and all of humanity ultimately is going to live this out. Mal yachol ara ziv yikarei. The whole earth is filled with the radiance of his glory. So the malachim are saying, we understand that Hashem is holy up here, but look down. The point of the Kedusha of Hashem was to fill this earth. And that's what Hashem was waiting for. It's one thing to have beings that created without free will to keep Hashem's will. But it's another thing to give man free will and let history play out to the point that ultimately through free will there's going to be an entire humanity that's going to live that out. Wherever Hashem's Ratzon is, wherever Hashem's presence is, Hashem Tzvokos, he's Kaddosh Kaddosh. He won't tolerate. This is where Hirsch gets into the Mikdash and what Yeshaya was saying. Hashem is Kaddosh. Kaddosh means he's firm in his Ratzon. Hashem doesn't compromise. Just because man is frail and weak, Hashem's not going to say, you know what, I'm Eichel Zayin, you don't have to keep my will so much. It doesn't work that way. He's Kaddosh, Kaddosh, Kaddosh. It's so irreversible that Hashem's Kedusha doesn't take compromises. But the hope and the demand is that Moloch HaLaretz Kvado, and the point of the Beis HaMikdash was to be that place on earth where we could get that inspiration the most, and then to fill the world, to leave the Mikdash and walk into B'chatzras Elokeinu. B'chatzras doesn't just mean the courtyards. Hirsch understands it means you go back home. It's everywhere you are. In life, whatever messages you got and it's from your exposure in the Mikdash, now go spill it out into the way you live your life. But if people use the Beis HaMikdash to think, I show up there for an hour or two and I'm feeling all connected to God, now I go home and I cheat and I commit murder and I do whatever I want, so then there's no reason to have a Mikdash anymore. The Malachim, they can't take it. They're crying, this message, how can there be a Mikdash anymore? They're screaming, Hashem's Kedusha won't tolerate it. Because Malach HaLaretz Kavodah, wherever Hashem's covered is, the world has to be filled with that. And if they use the Mikdash to undo it, then this is the beginning of the end. The next pasuk afterwards in Yeshaya says, he saw smoke. You know what smoke means, according to Hirsch? The fire on the Mizbeach started to go out, and it all started to fill with smoke. The fire on the top of the Mizbeach represents Klal Yisrael's dedication, the world's dedication to the Ratzon Hashem, and our lives are the fuel for the Eish Das, for the fire of Hashem's Torah. Well, if we're not going to live that way, then the Mizbeach is going to go away. And we're going to have to learn it the hard way, through a much longer experience. So that was the smoke that filled the house afterwards. So Kaddosh, 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 that we're saying here, is really a statement about the world that needs to be filled with Kedusha. And recognizing that Hashem doesn't bend on his expectations. We're part of the Tzivos Hashem, Malach HaLaretz Kavodo, so because Hashem's covered is here, and that's what the expectation is, we have to live up to the expectations of the Torah. And the next passage, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkamo, so Vatiseinu Ruach, it says there, the Targum says that this is Yechezkel HaNavi, it's a different place in Navi. Yechezkel, it was the beginning of the Golos. It was the first stage where the Kresi, the Plesi, the Chachamim, 18 years before the Churban, were already taken into Golos in Bavel. Yechezkel was by the riverbanks there, and he sees the Shemaim open up, and he sees this, Vatiseinu Ruach, the wind lifted him up. Veshma Harai, I heard behind me. What was behind him? What does it mean he heard behind him? Veshma Harai, called Rash Gadol, and it was saying Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkamo. So most people think behind him is up in Shemaim, he hears the Malachim. Hirsch understands behind me means down on earth. He was lifted up above the earth. And now he was given a more global view of where mankind is heading. And behind him means looking back down from what's going on earth. He says as follows, when the Spirit lifted me up above the earth, I heard behind me, rising up from the earth, the voice of the bracha and the glorification of God as it is performed on earth below. So it's more of the same idea. Instead of talking about the malachim are talking about us. We understand that our role, well, at least we ought to. That's what he was hearing, whether he saw people doing it or whether it was an abstract concept. I have no idea what exactly the Navi was seeing. But the two together, then, according to Hirsch, mean the following. That the Malachim look down on earth, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. They say Hashem has his clear demands. He's not budging. He's Kadosh, and he's not changing what he expects. We are part of the Tzvachas Hashem, not just the Malachim. And the Malachim look like that, and they look down on earth till the end of time to where man's heading. Malach l'aretz kvada, and therefore it's our job to raise ourselves up to that. And the Malachim then continue, as Yecheskel said, and they noticed, as Yecheskel and others noticed, that down on earth is Baruch Kvar Hashem Mim Kamo. So her says Mim Kamo, you would think, the typical reading of this until tonight, you'd say Mim Kamo is up there in Shemayim, somewhere in the Luft where we don't comprehend, up there in some space, out of space. But Hirsch is saying, no, the Kvar Hashem is wherever Hashem chooses to be, that's where the Kvar Hashem is. And it's our job to elevate ourselves to make that happen. It's a demand on us. As a result of all that, so the whole bracha now makes sense, because the punchline, we talk about Hashem, he's in, all of a sudden we go back to, after talking about the luminaries and all this, now it's talking about us and our commitment, what we have to do. So we mention all the things Hashem is interceding in the world. He's Baruch Refuas, Neres Tehillos, he does HaMachadesh, he keeps the world going, right? He's in charge of all those mighty acts. And then we ask, Kamur, Lo Osei Orim Gidolim, Kilom Chasto. Where does it say? As it says in the Pasuk, Lo Osei Orim Gidolim. You know where that Pasuk is? We say it every Shabbos. That's Hodel Hashem Kitov, Kilom Chasto. That's one of the Pesukim there. If we read it too fast, we don't notice it. Lo Osei Orim Gidolim, Kilom Chasto. At the end of that capital, that's called Halal HaGadol, Chazal call it Ben Brachas, and the main point of that Pasuk is Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis. That Nosin Lechem L'chol Basar is the main point of that whole capital. Even though it talks about the luminaries and all the big things, it starts off with that, but then it talks about Yitzhak Mitzrayim and the Geula, and Hashem takes us in the Eretz Yisrael. But the point is, Hashem is guiding our lives all the time. From the biggest things to the smallest things, He's got a plan and He's guiding it all along. That's exactly what we're saying over here. We started out this bracha talking about the planets and Hashgacha Pratis, and the Malachim noticing that there's humans living here, and that ultimately, this Kedusha in this world, if only we get it right, so we have to dedicate ourselves to that. Therefore, we ask, Or Chadosh Al Tzion Ta'ir. This Torah that you brought down to the world, which is represented by Tzion, the Makam HaMikdash, which is how we're going to get there, through our observance of the Torah, we're asking to light it up more so that we can get there quickly, and then it'll be the Geula that we're talking about, the state that the Tzibur, and only the Tzibur, could say with the initial brachas, the initial words of Kaddish, and then call it Hashem HaMavorach. So then, and once again, we refer to Hashem as Yotzeh Ma'aretz. He made the luminaries, and just like He made all of the world, He has the Torah that He gave us, that bright light of Hashem's guidance. He's both the God of nature, and He's the God of man through His Torah.